dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas, at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney. I'm hosting you and guiding you around the war of ideas, which we will be waging today as we wrap up the year with some perspectives on what's been happening in 2010 and a forward look at what might be our fate in 2011. We'll be joined by Gordon Chang, our duty expert on Asia. He'll give us a review of what's been happening in the year when China's ominous rise became absolutely palpable and what to expect in the years ahead. We'll be following Gordon in segment three with Peter Pham, a man we often turn to for strategic developments around the world, notably in Africa. We'll be talking with him about a paper that he's just done on China's increasing role in our, well, some people call it backyard. I think of it as front yard, Latin America, and what that might portend. Also, we'll get an update from him on what's happening in Sudan, his area of specialization in Africa, of course, being one of the reasons why we enjoy our visits with Peter Pham. And finally, segment four will be Jim Hansen giving us his wrap-up on the year, the war, sit-rep, as they say, what's been happening in Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, and what's to come in Iran. So all of that is awaiting you in the hour ahead. But first, I'm going to regale you with some of my experiences of late. Just last night, had an opportunity to appear on Bill O'Reilly's show. Bill, unfortunately, was not in the chair, but we had a good visit nonetheless with his audience about this topic of the stealth jihad, specifically Faisal Abdulrauf, the imam of Ground Zero Mosque fame, has announced recently that he is going to make a tour of the United States. He will apparently be visiting a number of college campuses and perhaps think tanks and maybe even a few friendly journalists to engage in his version of the stealth jihad, what the Muslim Brotherhood calls civilization jihad. We know about this from the Muslim Brotherhood's own explanatory memorandum, is part of the effort to destroy Western civilization from within by its own miserable hands. This is a warning to all of us, I'm afraid, as to what the Muslim Brothers are up to, and certainly is exactly what Faisal Abdulrauf is doing. We're told by Faisal Rauf that what's right with America is what's right with Islam. What's wrong with Faisal Abdulrauf is what's wrong with Islam, namely Sharia. The threat to which we've discussed here many times, and we've published in our book, Sharia, The Threat to America, by the Team B2 group, is all about the extent to which those like Faisal Rauf, who are seeking, in the name of bringing Sharia to America, to insinuate a legal program, a threat doctrine that will, I'm afraid, unless challenged, unless countered, ultimately take the United States where Sharia's adherents are taking Europe right now. Faisal Rauf assures us blithely that the Constitution of the United States is 90% compatible with Sharia, and the remaining 10% is minor or small points. Well, let's see. How about the idea of forcing a political totalitarian program on others through violence? Part and parcel of Sharia. Is that compatible with the Constitution? Or perhaps the idea of forcing entire populations to live in, well, enslavement, dimitude, they call it. Is that compatible with the Constitution? How about the murder of apostates, people who've left the faith, or the murder of homosexuals, or the forced, comprehensive, misogynistic mistreatment of women? Is that compatible with the Constitution? Or honor killing, where young women, for example, are murdered for wearing jeans or makeup or dating non-Muslims? Is that compatible with the Constitution? Or perhaps all of those are just the sort of minor 10% issues that Imam Rauf is assuring us are on the margins. Those are not on the margins, folks. Those are the kinds of things that are emblematic of Sharia as practiced in places that have it as the law of the land. Places like Saudi Arabia and Iran and Sudan and Somalia and where the Taliban misrules in Afghanistan. And in a lot of other places where they are aspiring to establish it comprehensively. But here's the kicker. As I said on Bill O'Reilly's program last night, and by the way, if you want to see the video clip, you can check it out at our website. It's securefreedom.org, the Center for Security Policy's website, or securefreedomradio.com. But the point that I made is we are focused, to varying degrees, on the violent kind of jihad, but we are almost entirely missing the stealth jihad, the civilization jihad that the Faisal Raufs are promoting and will be as he makes this tour of the United States, again, to closed audiences, to places that are not perhaps made known beforehand, where he'll be treated with kid gloves. He may even be lionized by his admirers on the left. But make no mistake, what Faisal Abdurrauf is doing when he talks about building bridges is exactly what Saeed Qutb, the ideological driving force behind the Muslim Brotherhood, wrote about in his book Milestones, in which he talked about the chasm between the believers and the infidels being so vast that no bridge can be built to span it except for the purpose of bringing the infidel to Islam. In other words, this is all about dawah, as they call it. This is about proselytizing. This is about ultimately subverting and, in due course, forcing submission to Sharia. And those, I'm sorry to say, like Bill O'Reilly and others who have either dismissed or simply failed to appreciate the danger that this civilization jihad represents, those in our government who are actually reaching out to and relying upon, as the Director of National Intelligence, Jim Clapper, said the other day, as a source of wisdom, the Muslim Brotherhood. They are inviting the destruction of this country. That sounds hyperbolic, but make no mistake about it. That's what the enemy has in mind. And as we're witnessing play out in Europe, which is farther down this road than we, thank God, is precisely that. The destruction of Western civilization from within. We're not going to let that happen here in America. Not in 2011. At least, not if we have anything to say about it. And we'll have a lot to say about it here at Secure Freedom Radio. And I hope you'll be part of it. Not just listening, but part of the dialogue. Part of the effort to counter and defeat Sharia, to keep America Sharia free. Find out more at securefreedomradio.com. Also the Twitter, Frank Gaffney, Facebook accounts. Next up, we'll be talking with Gordon Chang about Asia, the rise of communism.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
was able to lose the 80 pounds I gained due to pregnancy. It was pretty easy to eat whatever I wanted and not think about it.
The Meta System from Judy Singer has been helping make weight loss easier for a quarter century.
My husband's grandmother used it 20 years ago to lose weight for a wedding, and said it was the only way to go.
The Meta System also has an excellent support staff.
They were very supportive. The first time that I ordered the product, they called me and suggested that I order a lower dosage to begin with. They didn't want me to jump the gun right off the bat, and it was nice to know that they actually cared.
And the weight loss is so dramatic, people wonder.
With the Meta System, I've got many questions about how I managed raising a baby and working full-time and lose the weight and eat whatever I wanted.
People who use it recommend it.
I suggested the Meta System to my mother, and she has lost 30 pounds.
Learn more about weight loss with Judy Singer's The Meta System by calling 800-711-JUDY, 800-711-JUDY. The Meta System from Judy Singer, the powerful all-natural way to lose weight, 800-711-JUDY.
Terrorist threats, global economic recession, monumental government spending, continued job losses, healthcare reform. Who can sort all of this out? Hudson Institute. Since its founding nearly 50 years ago, Hudson Institute continues to lead the pack in groundbreaking policy research. John McCain said Hudson continues to make the world less threatening to our security and more hospitable to our values. To read the latest commentary and research from Hudson's world-renowned policy experts, visit our website at www.hudson.org. You can sign up for our weekly e-newsletter, keep up to date on our latest events, podcasts, and exclusive video features, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Visit www.hudson.org.
This is the greatest country in the world. Every day, people in America live in 100% freedom. Our military allows us to do that. It's comforting to know that when American lives are lost in defense of our freedom, an organization like TAPS is there to help the friends and families of those who have died while serving our country.
TAPS, the Tragedy Assistance Program for Survivors. Visit us online at TAPS.org or call 1-800-959-TAPS.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a nonprofit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Welcome back. We're joined by Gordon Chang, our regular Asia hand here at Secure Freedom Radio. He is a columnist at Forbes.com. He is the author of numerous really important works, including two of direct relevance to our retrospective on Asia this year, 2010, The Nuclear Showdown, North Korea Takes on the World, and The Coming Collapse of China. And Gordon, as always, it's great to have you with us. Happy New Year to you, first off, and welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio.
And Happy New Year to you and your listeners, Frank.
Terrific. I'm delighted to have you with us to give us, as I said, both sort of a look back on what I think of, Gordon, as the year in which the veil sort of came off what Communist China's up to as it builds not only military and economic power, but increasingly asserts itself strategically around the world. But also to visit with you about what you think might be coming in 2011. And let's start with this proposition that we're hearing out of the Obama administration that China deserves a lot of credit for defusing the crisis that seems to have been building recently with North Korea. Right or wrong?
Wrong. And it's also wrong that Bill Richardson deserves credit.
Ah, yes.
He was in He was in Pyongyang and has been saying that because of his diplomacy, North Korea decided not to retaliate. The reason North Korea decided not to retaliate was in part because of the resolute posture of Lee Ming-bak, the presence of the George Washington, our carrier, in the Yellow Sea, and also because the North Koreans never attack during a time of tension. They always wait for things to cool off, and then they go after the South Koreans when their guard is down. So that's the reason. China had very little to do with it.
Well, I have to say, I'm shocked that Bill Richardson's diplomacy was not the reason that everything is working out just fine. This fellow has been, to my way of thinking, an utter fool and an embarrassment for longer than I care to think of, and to give him any credit for anything is a mistake. But let's talk a little bit about another piece of the Chinese drama in recent days, Gordon, and ask your help in thinking what it might mean, not only as an economic matter, but perhaps in terms of the larger strategic picture, namely China's efforts to stave off what apparently are rising fears of inflation at home by raising interest rates. What does this mean?
Well, China has inflation, and it also has stock and property market bubbles because last year it poured about $1.1 trillion of stimulus into its $4.7 trillion economy. That was much more money than the economy could ever absorb, and that's why they've got a real inflation problem right now. And this is going to be the big story in China in 2011 because the government, even though it's raising interest rates and it's doing some other things, just is not taking the appropriately severe enough measures to deal with inflation. Because right now, food prices are going up about 11.7% in November, year on year. That's an enormous number, especially because China's poor spend as much as half of their income on food. And that means that China has this enormous political problem right now.
Yeah. Now, you've written a book, a quite visionary book, years ago now, concerning the coming collapse of China. Play this particular piece of the scenario out for us. Do you anticipate that the kind of pressures that you've just described, Gordon Chang, are going to create real strife within China as the poor get poorer and maybe the rich get richer?
Well, certainly the poor are getting poorer, and the rich are getting very, very rich. There is this widening income gap in China right now. And essentially, we got to remember that inflation has always been very, very difficult for Chinese leaders. They're very bad at handling it. And inflation was what got people into the streets in 1989, just before the Tiananmen massacre. And that's always at the back of the minds of the Chinese leaders. And that's why it's going to be such a problem in their mind. And we're going to see this because they do not have really the adequate tools to deal with inflation in the coming year.
Hmm. This raises, as we've talked about frequently in the past year, Gordon, as we've seen China becoming more and more assertive, to say the least, and aggressive even in some cases, the possibility that China seeks as a kind of release on some of this domestic turmoil, the pressure building internally, in foreign adventures, or at least the threat they would posit that is being presented to China from outside. There are a couple of things that let me just throw them at you and ask you to sort of respond to them as you see fit, that sort of are ominous signs in this regard. One is the emergence of a apparently quite advanced ballistic missile system designed, we're told, to attack U.S. carrier battle groups, and apparently with considerable capability to do that. Another is the sort of intensifying influence operations, technology theft activities, outright espionage that is being undertaken by the communist regime, and not much of it directed at the United States, of course. And then there's this story that we were hearing earlier, I think this week or last, about how China really isn't supposed to be that much of a problem because it still hasn't quite perfected the ability to build internally the vast array of armaments that it is now using to flesh out its military forces. They're still buying an awful lot of this stuff from Russia, among other places. What is your current reading of the state of Chinese ambitions and ability to act aggressively upon them as you look back on what's happened in 2010, Gordon Chang, and as you look forward to 2011?
2010 was a year that we really saw China being very aggressive, not only against its neighbors, but also against the United States. We saw problems in the South China Sea, the Sea of Japan, and also other places around Asia on China's periphery. Now, I actually think that China's military is probably not as fearsome as some people think, and so I buy into the Washington Post article that their weapons probably are not as good as people think. But nonetheless, we have to be extremely, and I mean extremely, worried about the trajectory, because we can see that the Chinese are trying to build not just pedestrian weapons, but the most sophisticated weapons, and they are basically the only country in the world that is actively planning to kill Americans. We need to remember this. So even if their weapons aren't 100% perfected at this moment, we've got to be concerned that this is a country that is devoting substantial resources to undermining us, our policies, but also trying to fight our military. This is a matter of utmost importance for the United States.
Yeah, certainly preparing to fight our military. And I have to tell you, Gordon, I take very little comfort from the fact that the Russians' state-of-the-art weapons are migrating into Chinese hands, rather than them being able to manufacture them entirely on their own just yet. It's pretty clear from that, I think it was the Washington Post story that I saw, now that you mention it, that talked about how the Russians are trying to get the Chinese not to rip off their technology for a little bit so that they can make some money on what they're selling them. But either way, whether they're Russian-made arms or whether they're ultimately Chinese-made arms, they're going to be, as you said, designed and deployed, and God forbid, used for the purpose of killing Americans. And I guess maybe in the remaining minute we have, Gordon, how can we possibly regard a nation that is engaged in this kind of activity as a reliable partner for, you know, our interests around the world?
Well, we can't, because, you know, every day China launches more than a million attacks against the United States. These are cyber attacks directed against the Pentagon and our defense establishment and the civilian government.
And there's no question those are emanating from communist China?
There's no question, because they have the Great Firewall, which means that they know exactly what goes out from China. And it's got to go out with the sanction and the knowledge of the Chinese government. So this really is something that we need to think about. And also, remember, we're giving Hu Jintao, the Chinese leader, a state visit next month. This is outrageous. This is the only guy who's planning to kill Americans, and we're going to give him a 21-gun salute. This is totally, totally wrong.
Well, we will be following that particular story as it develops with you, Gordon Chang, as we do each week. The invaluable material, I should say, that you bring to our attention from your area of expertise in Asia. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you for a terrific year in 2010, and I hope we can collaborate every bit as much in 2011, and all the best for the new year to you and your family. Gordon Chang, thanks so much for joining us. Next up, we will be talking a little bit more about this Chinese business in our own front yard. China's penetration of Latin America with Peter Pham. Straight ahead.
Go to SecureFreedomRadio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Can I have a price check on aisle... ma'am?
Yeah.
Don't look down, but there's a giant python wrapped around your leg.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's probably nothing.
Nothing? Shouldn't I don't know, like, call someone?
No, I don't have the time. I'm late as it is. If it keeps up, I haven't looked at.
Are you sure? That's a pretty big snake.
No, I'm fine. Thank you, though. You're very sweet.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly experiences numbness of the face, arm, or leg, or sudden trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, don't wait to get help. Call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Gaffney. My day job is running the Center for Security Policy, which each weeknight brings you this program. But Secure Freedom Radio is just one of the important contributions the Center makes to the common defense. We call our team the Special Forces in the War of Ideas. Like the real Special Forces, we strive to be agile, creative, and highly effective in identifying threats to our country and how they might best be countered. We can't do all this without you, though. Also, like the real Special Forces, ours need ammunition. And in the War of Ideas, ammo is money. The Center is a non-profit, tax-exempt organization. Contributions to its work are tax-deductible and an important investment in your security and freedom. Find out more about the Center for Security Policy and how you can help keep its Special Forces team in the fight by visiting securefreedom.org. Many thanks.
This morning, a woman reached out. A man stepped up. A family drove their elderly neighbor to the doctor. Someone took 2 hours of their morning to help someone else find affordable childcare near work. Somebody sat down with 16-year-old Stephen and taught him better note-taking skills and study habits, and suddenly, toughing it out till graduation seemed to Stephen a pretty good idea. All this happened today. It'll happen tomorrow. It's happening here, there, right down the street. People are living united. We're not just wearing the shirt, we're living it. We're realizing that the way we live our lives can impact the way others live theirs, their education, their income, even their health. So do something, any little something, as long as it's something. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Frank Effney. You're listening to Intelligent Talk on WRC 1260 in Washington, D.C.
I'll pick you up after school. Okay, I got it.
It's easy to take a day for granted. You and your family are connected by routine, and you stick to it. But what if a disaster strikes without warning? What if life as you know it has completely turned on its head? What if your day's routine is disrupted and you can't reach your family? Have you planned for that? Before a disaster turns your family's world upside down, it's up to you to be ready. Get a kit. Make a plan. Be informed. Today. Learn how at www.ready.gov. Ready.gov. This message brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency and the Ad Council.
Radio that improves your chances for survival in a dangerous world. Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Make Facebook your source for essential national security analysis. Search for Frank Gaffney and add him to your friends list.
We're back with Peter Pham of the Africa Project at the National Committee on Foreign Policy. He is one of our go-to guys on strategic developments around the world, but his expertise on Africa is especially important, as we'll be touching with him on that in a moment. But Peter, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio, especially in the aftermath of your most recent important contribution to the War of Ideas, entitled China's Strategic Penetration of Latin America: What It Means for U.S. Interests. It's great to have you with us, but I really am anxious to hear what you have to say about what's going on in our own hemisphere. So welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio.
Well, thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to be back with you.
What is the central thrust of your argument with respect to China's involvement in our, what I call, front yard here in our own hemisphere?
Well, there's been a great deal of interest, as you know, Frank, in recent years about China search for energy and other natural resources all around the globe, a lot of attention in Africa. What we have been paying attention to is the fact that China's made significant penetration of our own hemisphere, reaching to countries in Central and Latin America, both to get access to petroleum, agricultural products, and other natural resources, also to build up its diplomatic network and its military links even. And that this is, as you say, our front yard, and China is actually not only penetrating the area, but really making significant strides, which in the long term, if unchecked, certainly not only limit America's options, but threaten our national security.
We're talking with Peter Pham of the National Committee on American Foreign Policy, based up in New York, where he is struggling with the snow at the moment. We wish you well in all of that. Peter, give us some specifics, just an example or two, if you would, of how this penetration is translating into a real strategic advantage for Communist China in Latin America, and possibly quite detrimental to our interests.
Well, certainly. Well, the primary commodity that China is after, as it is in many parts of the world, is oil. It's to fuel its ongoing economic growth. It needs energy resources. It's a major importer. It accounts really 50% or more of the growth in demand for petroleum worldwide, and it's finding a lot of it in Latin America. Certainly, major deals have been struck with our good friend, and I say that somewhat ironically, Hugo Chavez in Venezuela, for access to Venezuela's oil. It's made a major play in Brazil, in Argentina, where it's picked up some of the assets of British Petroleum, had to engage in a fire sale, essentially, to pay for the cleanup and other damages for the Gulf oil spill. It's grabbed up those assets. And somewhat, I guess, most ironically, is it's given the political controversy in our own country about drilling offshore and especially off Florida, is the fact that since 2005, China's been working with Cuba's state-owned oil company to develop oil fields around the Pinar del Rio region, the western coast of Cuba. So, in a way, China's already drilling off the Straits of Florida.
Yeah, and there's some concern that the way they will do it may well wind up with future environmental catastrophes on our shores, not just on Cuba's. Peter Pham, this is an important new piece, the fourth, I gather, in a series of studies that you've done that can be found at NCAFP.org. That's the website of the National Committee on American Foreign Policy. You are also a contributor through a weekly column to World Defense Review. You run studies in international and public affairs at James Madison University. A man of many parts, and I guess what I just would like to ask you to address specifically, which isn't necessarily a China play in the first instance, but it's one that, as you mentioned, our good friend, as you put it, Hugo Chavez, is up to, which I have reason to believe the Chinese are happy about, if not actually enabling, namely a relationship between Hugo Chavez of Venezuela and the Iranians that apparently is going to result in the deployment of ballistic missiles in on Venezuelan soil. These are the sorts of things that are monumentally problematic penetration examples, if you would, that are, I have the feeling, going to have real strategic implications for the United States in 2011. Do you have any thoughts on that particular play?
Well, most certainly. It's part of a pattern, Frank. Not just the strategic value and, in fact, deterrence to us of having missiles mounted in Venezuela by Chavez, but China's encirclement of us in our own neighborhood. In Cuba, for example, much closer to our shores, if you will, China's taken over the Lourdes facility, which was the largest Soviet listening facility during the Cold War. Over 1,000 Soviet personnel were stationed there at one point until the Soviet Union gave up that, gave up the ghost, and then Russia gave up the base there in 2001. China has been staffing it, building up the ability to collect signals intelligence, electronic eavesdropping on the U.S., literally 100 miles off our shore.
Yeah.
Getting back to Venezuela, they've sold Venezuela 24 K-9 jets and are looking at Venezuela is looking at acquiring China's version of a joint strike fighter, the J-10A. It's certainly not directly aimed at us, but certainly lessens our strength vis-a-vis our neighbors.
Yeah.
And creates certainly additional worries for our forces in the event of any conflict that we have to also keep an eye on what we had always presumed to be safe and secure territory in our hemisphere.
Yeah, it's certainly less and less that by the day, and I have the feeling that the number of our friends may be diminishing. I've been listening to some very worrying reports about the direction that the new government of Colombia has taken, a man elected, I think, in the expectation that he would follow his predecessor's very pro-American policies, but seemingly is making nice with this very same Hugo Chavez in a worrying way. We're talking again with Peter Pham, but I want, if I may, Peter, to take advantage of the remaining 2 minutes or so we have with you to segue to a different part of the world, one also exhibiting some very ominous developments that you are very, very expert in, namely Africa. And tell us what your current reading is on the prospects for the referendum in Sudan. Will it conduce to independence for the South or civil war or something else?
Well, the referendum, which is due to start on the 9th of January and will run about a week, will likely take place in some fashion in the 10 states of southern Sudan. That we can be reasonably assured of as of now, or as reasonably assured as we can be. The problem is that the Comprehensive Peace Agreement also provided that simultaneous with the referendum on southern determination, the territory of Abyei, which was detached, which is inhabited overwhelmingly by southerners, but which the British colonial administration detached for administrative purposes to the north, they were supposed to be able to vote on their future, whether they want to be linked with the north or the south, and in the event of the south becoming independent, going with them. And it's a territory of great importance, not only for its hydrocarbons, the petroleum underneath it, but because its political significance as the homeland, the heartland for many of the southern leaders. And unfortunately, that referendum in Abyei, that territory, doesn't seem like it's going to take place. And that, in a way, is a breaking of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. And it's an issue that's going to linger and most likely cause difficulty in the South's progress toward independence later this year. And it's going to be a sticking point between the two. It's already being described by a number of analysts as as Sudan's Kashmir, and we know how Kashmir has poisoned relations in the Indian subcontinent ever since the division between India and Pakistan.
Yeah.
And this is building up to become something like that.
Peter Pham, a worrying note which to leave this, but we wish you the very best for 2011, notwithstanding. We know we'll be talking with you about Abyei and about Sudan and so much more that you're covering with great effect at the National Committee on American Foreign Policy. Thank you for joining us from time to time here at Secure Freedom Radio, and all the best for the new year.
Thank you, and the same to you, Frank.
Thank you. Next up, Jim Hansen. We'll get his boots-on-the-ground perspective on the first 2 years of the Obama presidency. How bad was it? How bad is it going to get? Straight ahead.
Miss a show? Find podcasts of Frank and the world's leading national security experts and policymakers at securefreedomradio.org.
The holidays come and go, but the pictures are forever. How do you want to look? Now is a perfect time to make a new start for the new year ahead. And the first step is calling Judy Singer's MediSystem at 800-711-JUDY.
On the MediSystem, I lost 10 pounds the first week, and overall, I think it was 12 weeks, I lost 46 pounds.
Over the past 3 months, I've lost approximately 47 pounds.
With the MediSystem, I lost 50 pounds.
Looking slimmer and feeling better isn't the whole story. Call 800-711-JUDY right now. The MetaSystem has worked effectively for thousands, and it can and will work for you. And with your MetaSystem purchase by December 29th, Judy Singer will take 10% off and throw in a free Go Anywhere tote as your Christmas gift. If you're already on MetaSystem, call and see what we've got waiting for you. Say goodbye to the old you, say hello to the new you. Judy Singer's MetaSystem works. Call now, 800-711-JUDY. That's 800-711-JUDY.
Terrorist threats, global economic recession, monumental government spending, continued job losses, healthcare reform. Who can sort all of this out? Hudson Institute. Since its founding nearly 50 years ago, Hudson Institute continues to lead the pack in groundbreaking policy research. John McCain said Hudson continues to make the world less threatening to our security and more hospitable to our values. To read the latest commentary and research from Hudson's world-renowned policy experts, visit our website at www.hudson.org. You can sign up for our weekly e-newsletter, keep up to date on our latest events, podcasts, and exclusive video features, and follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Visit www.hudson.org.
What are you doing?
Filling out a loan application.
I can help you get approved, you know.
Really? How?
With this.
A bag of sand?
It's not a bag. It's a pouch. And it's not sand. It's credit fairy dust.
Credit fairy dust?
Yes. I sprinkle some fairy dust on the application, and your credit rating magically improves.
There's no such thing as the credit fairy.
An unbeliever now. But what will you think when your loan is approved?
I'll think my credit score improved because I paid my bills on time, kept my credit card balances low, and only opened a new card if I really needed it.
It's the dust.
It's sand.
Don't deny the credit fairy.
There's no magic to improving your credit, but there is help, and it's free. Go to creditfairy.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the Consumer Bankers Foundation, the Leadership Conference on Civil Rights Education Fund, and the Ad Council.
Fire took place 3 years ago. There was a lightning strike. The winds picked up and the fire just took off. You're in shock. You don't know what you're feeling. You have nothing. I lost my home and 40 years worth of art. I never thought that I would need help from the Red Cross. They gave me emotional support to get up in the morning. I'll never forget what the Red Cross did for me.
Contact your local Red Cross chapter or visit redcross.org.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney. Now more with Frank Gaffney.
We're back, segment four, with Jim Hansen, our cleanup batter. We're cleaning up 2010 and looking forward to 2011 with one of our favorite contributors, a man who we collaborate with at BigPeace.com. He's also the driving force behind Black5.net, the mill blogger's site, and he is one of our go-to guys when we're looking for particularly that boots-on-the-ground perspective. Jim Hansen, great to have you with us as always. Happy New Year.
Good to be here, Frank. Same to you.
Let's start with sort of the boots-on-the-ground perspective, for want of a better term, on the wars that we're engaged in now. We've had 2 years of the Obama presidency, and I'd love to get your sense, Jim, as to how things are going in Iraq, in Afghanistan, and across the border in Pakistan as well.
Well, okay, let's start with Iraq being the war that Obama has ended. You know, and I love his... I guess the way he's always phrased that. He doesn't win or lose wars. You know, there's no victory. There's no defeat. You know, this isn't World War II. Nobody gets on an aircraft carrier and signs a peace treaty. So he ended the war in Iraq. The problem is, you know, the folks there who are the local al-Qaeda and some of the foreign al-Qaeda and the Sunni insurgents, Shia militias haven't really gotten the word, and Iran is still messing around quite a bit, and you've got the Kurds who think they need their own country.
Right.
So I'm afraid we've got a lack of focus, you know, on long-term stability for Iraq, and that it was just something that Obama wanted to get off his plate.
Yeah.
So I have concern about whether we have a large enough commitment to maintaining our influence in a country that should be our biggest ally in the Middle East other than Israel.
And that's really, really quite strategically vital, as you know so well, Jim. And you're right. Clearly, when one party ends a conflict and the other party doesn't get the word or doesn't want to follow suit, that may mean that the war continues just on ever less favorable terms for us. How about Afghanistan and Pakistan? What's your read on that 2 years on in the Obama administration?
I think, Obama just stood up with Hillary Clinton and his other advisors and noted that we were making some military progress, noted that our plan was to turn over operations and security to Afghan forces, and basically confirmed his plan as it's been all along to start withdrawing next summer. I've heard conditions based being, the way that withdrawal will happen. I don't really believe that unless I think the only way that withdrawal is not going to happen is if the Karzai government perhaps falls, or something along those lines. I think other than that, he's bound and determined to be withdrawing from that country and ending that war before he has to run his serious reelection. I think he sees that as an albatross, and he may be right. Public opinion about the war in Afghanistan is not particularly positive at all.
Right.
So, from a political perspective, his best move is to be leaving. That draws independents back to him who have that as a major issue. So I think, again,
but political,
we're not going to achieve an objective there.
Yeah, political interests may not be coincident with national interests, Jim Henson, and I think particularly with your perspective as a former U.S. Army Special Forces operator, you have an appreciation that you can, in fact, have a vastly bigger problem developing for the United States as a result of the perception of weakness, let alone the vacuum of power that might be associated with doing what is expedient from a domestic political point of view.
Yeah, no, I think that's a perfect analogy along with Gitmo. Gitmo is supposed to be this great recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda, and it turns out it wasn't. Well, I'll tell you what a great recruiting tool for Al-Qaeda is, defeating us in Afghanistan.
Yep.
If we are seeing the cut and run, which I don't see any way we can be leaving next year and declare victory, then we're going to have that problem of that perception across the entire Muslim world, and you can bet that Al-Qaeda will be using that as propaganda against us. We pushed the Crusaders out of Afghanistan and Pakistan.
Right. And let's talk about Pakistan briefly, Jim Henson. What's happening across the border? We're hearing a lot about drone strikes. We're hearing that some of your colleagues in the Special Forces might be dispatched to go in on the ground. What are you hearing from your sources? And is there much likelihood, against the backdrop of what you've just described, of the apparent cutting and running, or at least incipient defeat of the United States, that this is going to come out right in Pakistan?
I don't see how it could. I think in the short term, we will continue to do everything we can to kill as many terrorists as possible. And I applaud the Obama administration for that. That's one thing I believe they have put a distinct emphasis on to our net good. But the problem is the Pakistanis are not going to allow that. Once we stop being the major influence in Afghanistan, they're going to have to make different deals. They'll deal with the Taliban that they're friendly with. They'll disrupt things and project influence that way because they are afraid of India's influence and anyone else, being a larger power in the region than them. So they're not going to allow us to operate in their territory once we cease to be a major power in Afghanistan.
Yeah.
And we're pushing ourselves towards that.
And Jim Henson, let me just ask you this, as you follow things in fairly closely in Pakistan, what are the chances, it seems to me that these guys, particularly the intelligence services, the so-called ISI, have been doing a lot to support the Taliban, certainly in Afghanistan and seemingly protecting them in Pakistan as well for some time now. What are the chances that the Taliban in Pakistan simply takes over? That it not only is able to collaborate with elements of the Pakistani government like the ISI, but actually colludes with them for a central seizure of both power in the government sense and of nuclear weapons, which of course are there in some number.
You know, that's a nightmare scenario, and I don't see it as a distinct possibility. You know, I just don't see a way. The military in Pakistan is too secular and has remained too powerful to allow, you know, that kind of a coup that was religiously based, you know, Islamist and all that. Now, they will make deals, they will make accommodations, and they will slink a little bit towards a more Islamist society, I think, to avert a takeover. But I don't think, you know, there are enough secular elements in Pakistani society, I think, to ward off, you know, them becoming more like, you know, Yemen or someone who's just incapable of stopping them from operating.
Well, we'll be watching this closely, Jim Hansen, because I hope you're right. I fear you may be wrong. And I one of the things that is indicative of this is that General Zia, who, of course, was the chief of staff of the army some years ago and became the president in a coup, was the man who primarily drove Pakistan's military intelligence services and country in a much more fundamentalist, Sharia-consistent, compliant direction. So we'll be tracking this. But, Jim, in the remaining 2 minutes or so we have with you, tell me about one other piece of the Obama portfolio 2 years on, and that is, you mentioned earlier a problem for us in Iraq, but a much bigger problem more generally, namely the Islamic Republic of Iran. What do you expect to see there in 2011?
I think the Obama team, early on in his presidency, decided that they were going to work on containment. You know, they would make public diplomacy a priority, but that they didn't expect it to work, and they knew that they were never going to get the Chinese and the Russians on for any kind of sanctions that could really cripple that regime. So I think they accepted the fact that if the mullahs decided to finish their nukes, we couldn't stop them, and we weren't going to stop them. So I think they've been in containment mode for quite a while now. Now, the one curveball in all of this was that wonderful Stuxnet virus. You know, I haven't heard any solid confirmation. Everybody seems to think it was the Israelis, and it was, God bless them. You know, but they seem to have really put the Iranian centrifuges in a bad way. So that may have really changed the entire calculation as far as how much time there is before the Iranians will have enough, you know, enriched uranium to make a bomb.
Yeah.
So we may have, you know, if somehow I think Obama will continue public diplomacy, I just don't see any reason for the Iranians to make a deal that doesn't include them being a nuclear power.
Yeah, that certainly seems to be their view of it. And as you say, I don't think the administration has signaled that there are any real downsides to them. We'll see about Stuxnet. Again, Jim Hansen, you've provided a little bit of hopefulness to us at the end of the year and the end of our very productive conversations with you over this year. We appreciate them very much. We look forward to having many, many more of them in the year ahead. God bless you, sir. Have a good new year. And thanks to all of you for listening to us here at Secure Freedom Radio. We'll be talking with you again tomorrow and wish you a proper New Year's celebration on that occasion. But in the meantime, thanks for listening, and I hope you do so again tomorrow, same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks so much for listening.
You've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.